Good evening. Welcome to Wombats and Music. This is your host, Harry Baya. You're listening to Wombats and Music on WEHC FM 90.7, coming to you from Emory and Henry College in Emory, Virginia. Wombats and Music is my chance to share with you songs I really like and other things, readings, comic things, anything that I think is going to be really fun, I put on. And tonight, we've got some interesting things coming up. The first song is the last song from the last show. I didn't get to play the whole thing, and I didn't get to introduce it in any real detail either. It's by Shel Silverstein. It's called Killed by a Coconut. And Shel Silverstein, it turns out, has written more songs on my show than anyone. I was surprised to find some of the things he'd written. Put Another Log on the Fire, A Boy Named Sue, Marie Laveau, Unicorn. I recently played a song called The World's Gone Crazy Cotillion that he wrote. But this is called Killed by a Coconut, and he sang it with Bob Gibson. Bob Gibson was a very well-known performer, sang with Joan Baez. He actually managed some of the people, Joan Baez, Pete Seeger, Glenn Yarborough. So this song has some roots. I'm going to play the song for you, and then I'm going to read a quote I found on Shel Silverstein, who was apparently a Renaissance man, a creative genius, and worked in many fields, and he gave us a quote on creativity, which I think is interesting. But first, I want you to hear Killed by a Coconut by Shel Silverstein. So here we go.
He just had a stress test, and he was fine.
Yeah, I seen him. He looked good. He really did.
His cholesterol level was down to 209.
Ooh, healthy and happy.
He saved up his money, retired to the tropic sea.
That sounded beautiful.
There he was resting contentedly.
Yeah.
Underneath a tall palm tree when he was killed by a coconut.
Killed by a coconut?
Killed by a coconut.
Killed by a coconut.
Just when things were looking up, he happened to be looking down. Yeah, he was killed by a coconut.
And you could be
killed by a coconut.
That's why you never should be
sitting underneath the coconut tree when the coconut come down.
I think I understand the gravity of the situation.
After 5 years of begging and pleading, she finally said yes.
Oh, that's what we want to hear.
They slipped into his apartment. She slipped out of her dress.
Ooh, I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall there.
He lit up some incense.
Was that patchouli?
And unplugged the phone.
The sneaky devil.
And was just about to enter the twilight zone.
Yeah.
When he was killed by a coconut.
Ooh, what a feeling.
Killed by a coconut.
It came through the ceiling.
The people upstairs were having a luau, and one fell through the floor.
What's the chances of that?
Being killed by a coconut.
If you ain't protected.
Killed by a coconut.
They come unexpected.
So never be lying in bed at night with the one that you adore.
Now you tell me.
He got the promotion. He felt great.
Oh, I got a raise. He got insurance, health care, dental care.
He took everybody in the office out to celebrate.
Oh, we went to this fancy restaurant, man. It was really, really
He good. Ordered up pina coladas.
Ooh, I love them.
All around.
Oh, I got so lightheaded.
And they made a toast.
Yeah.
He drank it down.
Uh-oh.
And made a gasping sound. And he was killed by a coconut.
A great big cold one.
Killed by a coconut.
He swallowed a whole one.
The young bartender was just out of school and put the whole damn coconut in.
The kid tried.
He was killed by a coconut.
It ain't no joke.
You could be killed by a coconut.
Oh, gasp and choke.
So never be drinking in a bar at night, surrounded by all of your friends.
I love guitars.
He come back from Vietnam without even a scar.
Oh, he had medals. The guy was a hero.
Started driving them demolition derby cars.
Oh, yeah, that was a good idea.
He joined the police force.
Uh-oh.
Survived a shootout or two.
Oh, I think I see what's coming.
Now he was healthily jogging down the avenue.
Oh, don't tell me.
When
tell
he was killed by a pineapple.
What?
They were out of coconuts.
Oh.
Killed by a pineapple.
Oh, it felt like a coconut.
The A&P truck hit a telephone pole and fruit went flying everywhere. So if there's plans you got,
big plans you got,
just make sure you're not,
just make sure you're not
jogging down the road on a sunny afternoon, 'cause coconuts are lurking out there.
Oh, don't scare me, man.
By a coconut.
Oh, what a way to die now.
Killed by a coconut.
Come on, everybody cry now.
Fate has a way of making you pay for all the wrongs you do.
And a couple of the rights, too.
All the plans you got.
All the plans you got.
Ain't gonna mean a lot.
Ain't gonna mean a lot.
When you meet up with the coconut that's out there waiting for you.
Oh, he ain't waiting for me, man.
Yeah, the plans you got will not mean a lot when you take a shot that don't feel so hot. And ready or not, you come to the spot. Your coconut's waiting for you.
Oh, somewhere there's a tropical fruit with your name on it.
That was Shel Silverstein's Killed by a Coconut. That was Shel Silverstein, the voice making all the comments as the song went by. I want to read you this quote by Shel Silverstein from a 1963 interview in Aardvark magazine. I think that if you're truly creative, you can work in certain related fields of creativity. But then there are others that are beyond you. For instance, a man who works well with words might work as a writer and as a poet and as a lyricist. But if he tried to work in sculpture, he might get absolutely nowhere. And a guy who is very visual might easily work in painting and drawing, could also work in costume design, if he leaned that way, could work in stage setting, and in those related fields. I do believe that a person who is truly observant in one of the arts will be truly observant and sensitive in the others as well. But it's his ability to express those things that would limit him. I believe that a man who is a sensitive painter is sensitive to life, and therefore would be sensitive as a writer or as a storyteller. But having the ability to write is something more than merely seeing. Having the ability to paint is something more than merely seeing the colors, seeking the form. It is in execution, in skill. And Shel Silverstein was one of those people who did have this range of talent to write, to draw, to sing, to make music. There aren't that many people who are at the genius level in more than one field, and he was one. The next song is by Paul Simon. It's called Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes, and I researched it and found out that he had a relationship for a while with the daughter of a diamond mine owner, and he really never could, it didn't work out in the long run, he never could get over the fact that she was just enormously wealthy. And the diamonds on the soles of her shoes is kind of his way of presenting that. This is part of the Graceland album, which was a breakthrough album in many ways. Paul Simon recorded most of it in South Africa. He went there over the objection of many who thought he was, in so doing, he was supporting the apartheid system that was still there in 1986, I guess it was. But he went anyway, and he discovered and introduced to the world many great black musicians. Ladysmith Black Mambazo is singing, the men singing on this group, and there was a drummer and a guitarist, both of whom had never been known outside their own region, who were on his albums and he made famous, and they went on to great careers. So this is called Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes by Paul Simon, and there's a great video on YouTube if you'd like to go see it of the concert he did this in. So here we go, Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes.
Awa, 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 try it like a leg on charm. Awa, awa, oh, this is win is an arm charm. Awa, awa, Sibona, Wense, Gaganja. Awa, awa, Amandumbasane.
She's a rich girl, she don't try to hide it. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. He's a poor boy. Empty as a pocket, empty as a pocket, with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. 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 Say she's crazy, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of your shoes. She was physically forgotten, but then she slipped into my pocket with my car keys. She said, "You've taken me for granted because I please you. Wearing these diamonds." And I could say, ooh, ooh, as if everybody knows what I'm talking about. As if everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Sign of a wave. The poor boy changes clothes and puts on aftershave to compensate for his ordinary shoes. And she said, "Honey, take me dancing," but they ended up by sleeping in a doorway by the bodegas and the lights on over Broadway, wearing diamonds on the soles of their shoes. And I could say, ooh, and everybody here would know what I was talking about. I mean, everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about diamonds on the soles of my shoes, yeah. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of my shoes. Ta-na-na-na-na. 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 Ta-na-na-na-na.
Diamonds on the soles of her shoes, Paul Simon. You're listening to Wombats and Music. This is your host, Harry Baya. Each week I explain that the title, Wombats and Music, contains the word wombat as my excuse to put in anything I want, whimsical, odd things, poetry, whatever. I don't have any true wombats this week, but I do have one song a little later that's half-qualified. The next song is an old song. This is from 1958. It's Gogie Grant singing The Wayward Wind. She only had a couple of hits. This was one of them. Her original name, I found, was Myrtle Audrey Ahrensburg. And she moved at age 12 to L.A., changed her name, her singing name, to Audrey Brown, Audrey Grant. And her manager used to go to a restaurant called Gogie LaRue's restaurant, and called her Gogie. So that's where she got the name, Gogie Grant. And this is The Wayward Wind. It was a number one hit. This was a number one hit in 1956. And it catches... Remember, I think if you've listened to earlier shows, I'm trying to haunt you, trying to play songs that will sort of reach into your subconscious and pluck chords. I can't get every one of you every time, but these are songs that do that to me. And this one in particular, The Wayward Wind, is about a kind of person who just can't stay put. They like to travel. They're always off to the next place. And this woman has the misfortune to fall in love with such a man, and sings a song about her experience with the wayward wind.
Restless wind that yearns to wander, and he was born the next of kin, the next of kin to the wayward wind. In a lonely shack by a railroad track, he spent his younger days. And I guess the sound of the outward bound made him a slave to his wandering ways. And the wayward wind is a restless wind, a restless wind. Next of kin to the wayward wind. Oh, I met him there in a border town. He vowed we'd never part. Though he tried his best to settle down, I'm now a broken heart. And the wayward wind is a restless wind, a restless wind that yearns to wander. And he was born the next of kin, the next of kin. Next of kin to the wayward wind. That was The Wayward Wind by Gogie Grant.
The next song is from the same era. It's called Kansas City. It's sung by Wilbert Harrison. I'm not sure what year he sang it. The song was first written and produced and published in 1952 and continued to be a hit for numerous people till 1959. But Wilbert Harrison's version was the one that really did it in, made it big. It was the number one hit, just like Wayward Wind. It was the number one song. It's now the official song of Kansas City, and one of the places mentioned there is 12th Street and Vine. And apparently that's marked. There's a sign in the city for 12th Street and Vine. It's in a park. Wilbert Harrison was from Charlotte, North Carolina. So this is his big hit, Kansas City. Kansas City by Wilbert Harrison. Now we're going back to Paul Simon. This is Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel. They had a on and off again relationship. They didn't always get along. They split up several times and then they'd get back together. After their 1970 album, where they had Bridge Over Troubled Waters, they split up for a while and came back together in 1975 on Saturday Night Live. And Paul Simon said to Art Garfunkel, he said, "I think you sing way too many sweet songs, happy, sweet songs." He said, "I'm going to write you a song that's not quite so happy and sweet." And the result was this song, My Little Town. Apparently, Art Garfunkel, growing up, was not particularly supported by his town or his family in his musical interests. They insisted that he go off and get degrees, and he did get a degree in, contemporary art. What else was it in? Mathematics. He got a master's degree in mathematics and went on and actually worked as a mathematician for a while. Well, his first degree was in art history. So he had a little bit of a rough childhood because of his interest in music. And so Paul Simon wrote him this song. It's called My Little Town. And they do I love this song. I like the instrumentation and stuff. Art Garfunkel plays the piano solo at the beginning of the song. Here we go with My Little Town.
Thank you. little town. I grew up believing God keeps his eye on us all. And he used to lean upon me as I pledged allegiance to the wall. Lord, I recall my little town, coming home after school, flying my bike past the gates of the factory. Mom doing the laundry, hanging out shirts in the dirty breeze. And after it rains, there's a rainbow, and all of the colors are black. It's not that the colors aren't there, it's just imagination. Everything's the same back in my little town, my little town.
That was My Little Town by Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel. There's some great lines in there. At one point he says he's twitching like a finger on the trigger of a gun. Another place where it says, and after the rain, there's a rainbow, but all of the colors are black. He said, it's not that the colors aren't there, it's just imagination they lack. Powerful, powerful poetry. You're listening to Wombats and Music from Emory and Henry College. I'm your host, Harry Baya. This show normally plays on Monday nights from 7 to 8, and again on Thursdays at 3, if there's not something else playing at that time. And I want to mention a few other shows that are on that I like and think you might find interesting. Rise Up Singing with Steve Fisher comes on. There's a rerun on Mondays, 3 to 4, and let's see. After my show tonight, Julian Ramirez plays some Latin stuff. I've listened a few times. It sounds great. After that, at 9 o'clock Monday nights, is the Oldies Hour with Ed Hibbets, and at 10 o'clock is Jazz with Al Bradley. Tomorrow night, 8 to 9, is the Eclectic Hour with Jim Barker, which is always interesting. He has on interviews and things. And following his show is the Flagship with Aris Winger, which is a talk show for 2 hours. And they get into some strange conversations. It's kind of a zany show. I also always want to mention Let's Get It On from Robert Weisfeld, 9 o'clock on Friday night. Just check that out. Go to that show. If you're home Friday night, turn on Robert Weisfeld and just get a feel for the kind of things he does. It's an interesting experience, to say the least. And there are a lot of other good shows. If you want to know what else is on, you can see the schedule. Go to ehc.edu on the web and click on WEHC. That's the station we're on, WEHC 90.7. And one of the choices is to click. You can see the schedule. You can also listen to the show over the Internet. My name is Harry Baya, and you can email me at Emory. It's hbaya@ehc.edu. EHC is for Emory Henry College. So hbaya@ehc.edu. If you have any comments on my show or suggestions, love to hear them. Well, we're going to move on to a different kind of thing now. This is a song I got off. I think I've mentioned my son has a show once a month in Maine and plays some interesting songs. I'd heard this before, and I heard it recently, and I captured it. It's called Howl at the Moon by Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards has quite a career doing many things. I'm not going to get into all of it. He's apparently from Minneapolis, Minnesota, went to Ohio U for a while, and has a lot of friends in the folk world. And this particular song just, I remember I said I like to haunt you. This one haunts me. It's called Howl at the Moon, and it's...
If I were maybe a wolf or a dog, I wouldn't have to speak, I wouldn't have to talk. Just eat my dinner and go for a walk and howl at the moon. If I were laying there just like you, all curled up the way dogs do, I dream that you're dreaming too, and howl at the moon. Howl at the moon. Howl at the moon. And if I could carry your black and white, I'd sleep so sound, I'd wake so nice, I'd keep real close to my own advice and howl at the moon. Oh, you know something I don't know, and you go places I can't go. Lift your head when the breezes blow, two voices older than time. While I sit here and howl.
That was Howl at the Moon by Jonathan Edwards. Each week, if I can, I like to present a little bit of my personal view of life or philosophy or something. I have a friend here on campus, Eric Grossman. He's a professor, and he teaches a course called Mediated Consumption. And one summer I took the course. I audited it. And there are some very interesting points of view being presented, some of which Eric shares and some of which he just presents for discussion. A lot about genetics and inherited characteristics and stuff. And one of my thoughts is that we inherit, well, there's something called pheromones, and these are things that our nose can sense. I'm not sure we smell them consciously, but there are people that argue that they greatly influence who we like and dislike, and in fact may be a major determinant of who we choose to fall in love with or who we do fall in love with. Pheromones may be doing that. Well, I've come up with the idea that maybe there should be something called musical pheromones. Maybe there are genetic predispositions towards certain musical chords, patterns, sequences, voices, who knows. And so what I'm playing for you are those pieces of music that have hit my musical pheromones. These are the ones that I fell in love with. For whatever the reason, it may be genetic, and your genes will be different, so some of these won't touch you the same way they touched me, but some of them will. The next one, Before They Close the Minstrel Show, is sung by Lisa Schneckenberger, and I introduced her a week or two ago with a song. I had met her on a weekend. She was a performer at a music weekend I was at, and she's a world-class master fiddler. I mean, that's what it says in the notes, and I can witness that. She is. And a beautiful voice. And here's a version of Before They Close the Minstrel Show. This is her singing that song. And this, I must admit, apparently touches my musical pheromones. This just does it for me. I love this song by her. Here we go with Lisa Schneckenberger, Before They Close the Minstrel Show.
A poster's peeling underneath last summer's morning glory vibe. An old white head, a stubbed cigar, an empty bottle of wine. Lay me down, Carolina, lay me down. Don't wanna wake up in the morning no more. Sing me one slow sad song for this one time before they close the minstrel show. The money and the crowd ran out before we hit the last town. And this old show has played its run and run the curtain down. Lay me down, Carolina, lay me down. Don't wanna wake up in the morning no more. Sing me one slow sad song for this one last whole time. This banjo's got a broken string. Don't expect I'll get to fix it now. There won't be no more time to sing. I'm rusty anyhow. Wake up in the morning.
Before they close the minstrel show by Lisa Schneckenberger. The next song is a memory for me. It's sung by a man named Claude Francois. It's in French, and though I did go to France this summer and study French, I can't understand a word in this song, or hardly a word, and I don't expect you to unless you're fluent. I listen to it as an instrument. It's just a beautiful song, and I'll tell you how I happened to come by it. I was in the army in Germany and got an overseas discharge in 1965 and traveled with my wife around Europe, and we had a car radio, and I heard this song on the radio and I liked it, and I went into a record store, and not speaking any French, I had to sing it to them to get them to sell me the song. I got several songs that summer, and so I researched it. The singer, Claude Francois, was a fairly famous singer, had a lot of hits, died young at age 39. But this one was not mentioned anywhere. This particular version of, there was an American version. It's called Trains and Boats and Planes, which is fairly popular. But this French version, I don't know if it's well known in France. I suspect it might be because it's such a great piece of music. But the internet didn't know it existed. I couldn't find any record, even though I could find a lot about Claude Francois and many songs he sang. This one was never mentioned. It's called Quand un bateau passe, or When a Boat Passes. And in English, it's called Trains and Boats and Planes. So here's Claude Francois singing the song in French.
Quand un avion s'envole dans le ciel, moi j'imagine tous ces départs, tous ces gens qui doivent partir, qui se séparent, qui se déchirent. Quand un bateau passe, quand un train siffle, quand un avion s'envole dans le ciel, moi je revois ce matin triste où en partant tu disais l'été prochain je reviendrai. Et depuis ce jour sous le soleil brûlant, lamentablement moi je t'attends. Trois étés déjà sont revenus, je suis là comme je t'avais promis. Mais où es-tu, mais où es-tu, mais où es-tu? Quand un bateau passe, quand un train siffle, quand un avion s'envole dans le ciel, amèrement, moi je me dis que s'il n'existait pas, peut-être alors serais-tu là. Quand un bateau passe, quand un train siffle, quand un avion s'envole dans le ciel, j'espère encore, j'espère toujours que bateau, train et avion qui t'emmenaient te ramèneront. Quand un bateau passe, quand un train siffle, quand un avion s'envole dans le ciel.
That was Quand un bateau passe by Claude François from 1965. Each week I make a playlist of songs I'm going to put on the show, and I always have a few more than I can fit in because I can't tell exactly how the time will work out. And this week I have one I don't want to miss, so I'm going to put it in now. And it's my my wombat of the week. It's not a true wombat, but it's an interesting, strange song. Pretty good chance you've never heard it. I'd never heard it until recently. It's called Swamp Witch. It's by Jim Stafford. Jim Stafford was a fairly well-known person and probably still is in the entertainment industry. At one point, he was the head writer and producer for the Smothers Brothers show and did a number of other things. At one point, he was married to Bobby Gentry, who sang one of the songs we owed to Billy Joe we put on here. So he's an interesting character. He was born and raised in Florida, in Eloise and Winter Haven, Florida. And he taught himself numerous instruments, banjo, fiddle, guitar, organ, harmonica. His most famous song is called Spiders and Snakes. But this song is called Swamp Witch. And I love it. I get a kick out of it. I'm going to read you the first verse before I start the song, just to give you the flavor of it. And then you can get into the song on your own. Blackwater Hattie lived back in the swamp where the strange green reptiles crawl. Snakes hang thick from the cypress trees like sausage on a smokehouse wall. Where the swamp is alive with a thousand eyes, and all of them watching you. Stay off the track to Hattie's shack in the back of the Black Bayou. So these songs are poetry, and that's what part of what makes them haunt me. So we're going now to Jim Stafford singing The Swamp Witch.
Blackwater Hattie lived back in the swamp where strange green reptiles crawl. Snakes hang thick from the cypress trees like sausage on a smokehouse wall. Where the swamp is alive with a thousand eyes and all of them watching you. Stay off the track of Hattie Shack in the back of the Black Bayou. Way up the road from Hattie's shack lies a sleepy little Okeechobee town. Talk of swamp witch Hattie lock you in when the sun go down. Rumors of what she done and rumors of what she do. kept folks off a track of Hattie Shack in the back of the Black Bayou. One day brought the rain stayed on, and the swamp water overflowed. Skeeters and the fever grabbed the town like a fist. Doc Jackson was the first to go. Some said the plague was brought by Hattie. There was talk of a hanging too, but the talk got shackled by the howls and the cackles from the bowels of the Black Bayou. Early one morn, between dark and dawn, when shadows fill the sky, there came an unseen caller on a town where hope run dry. In the square there was found a big black round vat full of gurgling brew. Whispering sounds as the folks gathered round, it came from the Black Bayou. There ain't much pride when you're trapped inside a slowly sinking ship. Scooped up the liquid deep and green, and the whole town took a sip. Fever went away, and the very next day the skies again were blue. Let's thank old Hattie for saving our town. We'll fetch it from the Black Bayou. Party of 10 of the town's best men headed for Hattie's shack. Said swamp witch magic was useful and good, and they're gonna bring Hattie back. Never found Hattie, and they never found the shack, and they never made a trip back in. A parchment note they found tacked to a stump said, "Don't come looking again."
Black Hattie left Louisiana and moved up near Damascus. Last summer, a deputy sheriff went hunting on her property, and she didn't take to it too kindly. The last thing anybody heard Black Hattie say back before she disappeared was, "You gonna have some snow this winter. I promise you that." I think she kept her promise. What do you think? We had a little snow. So that was the Swamp Witch by Jim Stafford. We've got time for one more song, and I'm going to put on one of my favorites from way back. This is called "You Belong to Me" from Joe Stafford. It was from 1952, and this is one of those songs that haunts me. I've always liked this song. I remembered verses of it. It's an old-time 50s song. It's a love song, and Joe Stafford sings it. She only had a few big hits. Well, I take it back. She had quite a few big hits, but this is one of her biggest. And let's see what I can tell you about Joe Stafford. This was the first song to hit number one by a female on the English chart, the UK chart. Hit number one in the US too. This song has been used in a lot of soundtracks. Ally McBeal used this song. A number of other movies. Shrek used this song as part of their soundtrack. Joe Stafford sang with Tommy Dorsey. She sang a duet with Hank Williams, "Hey, Good Lookin'." And she had hints, other hits called "Jambalaya" and "Shrimp Boats." So this is Joe Stafford playing the last song for our show tonight, singing "You Belong to Me" from 1952. This is Joe Stafford singing "You Belong to Me."
Along the Nile, and watch the sunrise on a tropic isle. just remember, darling, all the while you belong to me. See the marketplace in old Algiers, and send me photographs and souvenirs. Just remember, when a dream appears, you belong to me. I'll be so alone without you. Maybe you'll be lonesome too and blue.
That was Joe Stafford singing You Belong to Me. You've been listening to Wombats and Music. This is your host, Harry Baya. We're on Monday nights from 7 to 8 on WEHC, and I hope you'll join me next week when we can again celebrate most joyously our being here at all. Good night.